Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we are in the Gifts of Healings module. And we've already laid the first foundation, and now we're going to go into part two. And as we go into this, I just want you to have a prayer in your heart. Lord, increase my capacity. I want to walk in the power and the authority of the book of Acts. And so let me open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask for your anointing to be upon this, that you would give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and a heart that receives. In the authority of Jesus' name, we believe for this. Amen. Now, as we get into this, let's begin with number two in the manual. And the Bible says, a crippled man healed, Acts 3, 6 through 7. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I to you. And this goes all the way back to when Jesus originally commissioned these disciples. He said, freely you have received, now freely give. And so here's Peter. He's like, hey, listen, I don't have any money on me right now, but I do have something. And so in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Acts 3 verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, this is crucial, because in the first chapter of Acts, we have a foundation laid, Jesus Christ alive, and Jesus Christ commissioning his disciples to wait for the power of God. Acts chapter 2 lays the foundation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The church is glorified and receives the power of God. In Acts chapter 3, we see the doctrine of the authority of the name of Jesus that has been given to the church, the body of Christ. And in this, we see a body of Christ that is using that authority in Jesus' name in order to project the power of the gospel in an outward flow into the harvest. And so Acts chapter 3 is such a crucial chapter in the book of Acts. Now, here we have also something else you need to gain here or grasp, is that even in the Old Testament, Acts chapter 3, where we have the healing of a man, and then as Peter is declaring faith in the name of Jesus, by Acts chapter 4, he's declaring there's only one name that's given to men whereby we must be saved. So he's linking the authority of the name of Jesus, which healed the man, to forgiveness. Now, to a lot of these Jews, they thought about the sacrifice of lambs, goats, bulls, whatever. They understood temple worship, temple sacrifice. And here is Peter coming with preaching, there is only one way to be forgiven, and that's through the authority of the name of Jesus. And just as we preach this name to you, here's this man that's been completely made whole. I'm telling you what, as you meditate on this, you see that forgiveness and healing go hand in hand with the Lord. Psalms 103, verses 1, 2, and 3. Bless the Lord, all my soul. And then he says, remember, or don't forget his benefits. He forgives all your iniquity. And what? He heals all your disease. It is a complete package. He's a God that forgives, and he's a God who heals. And so when you get into this, meditate the importance of this healing. It was a gift of the Holy Spirit that was in operation here. And that gift of healing, it comes with an operation of faith. It's not the gift of faith. Gift of faith is a different operation. But all the gifts of the Spirit have an operation of faith in them. Not to mention, they also have to have the faith of the person possessing the gift, meaning Peter. Peter's faith was in operation. He says, hey, what I have, I'm going to give to you. That's an operation of faith. And so, what a powerful, powerful example. Now, let's go to number three. The apostles to the crowds, Acts 4, verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And I think when you look at this, in this operation, the apostles were actively working in the power of God. They were not receiving supernatural provision, protection, or blessing, but they were administrating this power in an outward flow out into the harvest. So that's why we're putting the gifts of healings here, is that the gifts of healings, it's an operation that the one possessing it works with it. He enacts with it. The gift of faith, on the other hand, is a receiving operation. And so with great power gave the apostles witness. They were giving. They were in an outward flow of demonstration. And the other thing that's so important is concerning being a witness of resurrection. That's why this whole study of Acts, we began with the resurrection module. Because we believe that the only reason Acts is powerful is because Jesus demonstrated he's alive. He was raised back to life. And so the early church had this so strong in them. Everywhere they went, they were preaching, Jesus is alive. And then they were demonstrating, they were raising people back to life. Well, the foundation was resurrection. And so these guys are going out there preaching resurrection. It's no wonder the Holy Spirit was just beginning. He was bubbling. He was like, let me demonstrate this power. And so that is so important that we be a people of resurrection. Let's go to number four. The gifts of healings through the hands of the apostles, Acts 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought amongst the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And, you know, it's important to note that Jesus, when he was ministering, he used his hands a lot. In fact, the crowds of people said such mighty works are wrought by his hands. So Jesus was using his hands, and the power of God was performing signs and wonders. And God was literally grabbing the attention of the people and demonstrating his power through Jesus' hands. And here he's doing the same through their hands. Now, let's read this. Here again, we see the power of God flowing from the apostles as they laid their hands upon people. These apostles followed Jesus for 3 years, watching him minister to the multitudes. Now they were doing what Jesus had taught them to do. All three gifts of power can operate through the laying on of hands. In this example, we're not given any specifics, but we are supplied with needed information that continues to reinforce our faith in the ministry of the Holy Spirit in and through the church. The Holy Spirit is the minister. And we line ourselves up to him, and we flow with him, and he demonstrates Jesus. Let's go to number five. Peter and the apostles, Acts 5, verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. Peter, who had been trained by Jesus for 3 years, was very familiar with the healing ministry of Jesus. In this passage, we see the Holy Spirit manifesting healing in some very unusual ways. If Jesus hasn't changed, then why would a healing shadow be any more unique than spitting and making clay and then rubbing it into a man's eyes? These miracles were never about the apostles or the church, but about a living Jesus who was actively working with them as they obeyed and went forward in faith. They truly went out preaching and healing as lambs sent out into the midst of wolves. These disciples were staying close to their great shepherd, and he was turning the world upside down through them. A healing shadow. Now, when you get into this, you can't help but to think about Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There is a shadow of the Almighty. And then you think about Mary. She says to the angel, she says, how is this going to happen? And the angel says, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and the power of the Most High is what? Going to overshadow you. Well, the same operation is upon the church. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the power of God was overshadowing him. And as he was just walking down the street, people didn't even have to touch the hem of his garment. They were just in the shadow. And it was powerful. Ah, praise God. I mean, can you imagine that? The glory of God on a shadow? Let's go to number 6. Multitudes, everyone, Acts 5:16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about to Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them who were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Note, in this passage, we are given further insight into the healing ministry of Jesus through the church. Jesus has never changed and will never change. How he ministered on the earth, he so desires to continue through his body, the church. Also, the casting out of demons is a part of the healing ministry of Jesus. In conclusion, it must have given Jesus such great joy to see the plan of God through the redeeming power of the cross continue to heal the multitudes that had gathered in his name. Now that's the key. They weren't gathering in the apostles' names. The apostles were being used, but the crowd had gathered in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm going to be right there. These simple words, I am with you always, Matthew 28:20, must have been so stirring the hearts of the apostles as they watched the cripples walk, the deaf hear, and the blind to see. Let me just say this. Everybody loves to see the power of God in operation. To watch crippled people come up into that glory of God, and all of a sudden their bones begin to snap into place, and they stand up, and they walk away. They walk home, back to where they came from, changed. But I think with these apostles, it was a little bit different. They had lived with Jesus for 3 years. They knew him in the flesh. They talked with him. They laughed with him. They cried with him. And they missed him. And I think probably as Peter was laying in bed that night, thinking over concerning the details of the day, I think his heart was meditating on his love for the Lord who was with them. Yeah, he went to heaven, but you know what? He was demonstrating, Peter, John, I am with you. What great encouragement they must have had, and fellowship. Gifts of healings. Let's go to number 7. Stephen to the multitudes. Acts 6 verse 8. Stephen, full of power, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit and power. He was doing the works of Jesus. As mentioned earlier, the power and demonstration by Stephen is given in a general context and not with specific examples. It's also proper to note that this chapter gives insight into the importance of being full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Stephen was a deacon. and his job was to be an extension of the hands of the apostles. Because the apostles had given themselves to prayer, the power of God flowed through these holy servants as they set tables and served widows. The secret of Stephen's success was the flow of prayer coming from the apostles, which resulted in a fullness of the Holy Spirit in their lives as well as upon the church. Stephen, by faith, connected the apostles' prayer life to the tables of the widows, and the power of God was flowing. The other healing that was taking place in this passage was the healing of that ethnic division that existed between two different groups of Jews, those that saw themselves as Hebrews and those that saw themselves as Greeks. Yes, there was a division, and it was in the Bible. The Bible lists it. And so there had to be a healing and a unity come into these people's lives. And so this is something that's been throughout the last 2,000 years of realizing that the gospel is the power of God that tears down racial division, or the division of the Tower of Babel, and through the love of God to unite people in Christ. And so that's another healing, supernatural healing, that was taking place in this passage. Let's go to number 8, gifts of healings, paralyzed and lame healed, Acts 8, verse 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So he wasn't receiving the power of God. He was flowing in the power of God. He was acting in the power. Unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame, they were healed. Therefore, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so is the Holy Spirit. In this passage, we see the healing mercy of Jesus continue to heal the crippled and lame through the power of the Holy Spirit upon Philip. As Philip preached Christ, the Anointed One, a cloud of glory fell upon those listening. As he preached, the gifts of healings flowed like a river, delivering and healing without Philip even touching them. This passage alludes to the sounds of people being healed and restored. And I think, let me just pause here. The healing ministry of Jesus has sounds. When demons leave people, they often cry. And then they cry again for joy because they're clean and they're set free. Crippled people, it has been said concerning healing ministries, especially during the healing move of God that was on this nation in Great Britain over the last century, that people who had been crippled and arthritic, that when their bodies began to come back into healing, you could hear their bones snapping and popping and crackling back into place. Oh my goodness. There are sounds in the healing ministry of Jesus. And I just want you to think about that. So the gifts of healings, they're in operation, and Philip was operating in them, okay? Number 9, Peter ministering to Aeneas, Acts 9:34. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise, make your bed, and he arose immediately. The gifts of healings heal. Also, in this example, we see Peter making it clear who the healer was as he used the name of Jesus with authority and with faith. And I absolutely love this. I mean, you could read over it real quick and not catch it, but Peter, he went in there with a lot of clarity. It is Jesus Christ who makes you whole. I mean, his fellowship and communion with the Lord was so real and strong. And let me say this. Remember, Peter knew what it was like to walk with Jesus and to have a relationship with Jesus in the flesh. He was right there. And now these apostles were learning to do the same through the power of the Holy Spirit by faith. Jesus was physically in heaven, but through prayer, Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. And so the early church, under the authority of and leadership of these men, they were teaching the church to lean upon Jesus. He is with us. And so, very powerful. Let's go to number 10. Peter raising Tabitha back to life, Acts 9, verse 40. And Peter put them all forth. He kneeled down and prayed. That's very important. You got to mark that. He didn't just go into this to try to do a miracle. He took time to pray. And then turning him to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now, in raising the dead, it is needed in most cases for the gifts of healings to restore the body from the sickness or the disease that originally caused the death. And so I want you to think about that. The raising of the dead is, I think, one of the greatest acts of God that we see in that, you know, you take a person, their spirit is probably in heaven already. Their body is dead. The power of death is already holding them. And so the minister, in this case, Peter, goes in there. And I believe that it takes three operations of power. The gift of miracles, the working of miracles, goes in with such miracle force and breaks death's hold. The gift and operation of faith is transporting that spirit back into the body. I call it the rapture in reverse, meaning that person is not choosing to do this. They're receiving the power of God doing it. Can you imagine? Tabitha's in heaven. She's about ready to see and talk to Jesus. But this operation of power through the Holy Spirit takes her right back down into her body. And then whatever the sickness was that killed her, the gifts of healings heal it so that she doesn't die. You know, she gets raised back to life and dies again because the sickness is still there. No, that sickness is healed. So I believe it takes three operations of power. You know, the reason I say that is it's going to stir you up to think about it and to reach. Say, God, I want you to teach me. I want to learn these things. Amen. Let's go to number 11. Disciples preaching in Antioch, Acts 11, verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Throughout Scripture, the phrase, the hand of the Lord, denotes supernatural operation. Though a specific event is not listed, it does reveal that God's power was moving during the preaching of the gospel. So I've taken the liberty, considering Scripture, to list both the gifts of healings and the working of miracles as the result of the hand of the Lord being with them. In conclusion, as we seek the face of God, we must equally desire His hand to move as we go forth in His name. And that's so powerful, is that the church must have an outward flow and effect of power into the harvest. And that's where prayer comes in. In fact, when you read this, often they're praying before they begin to flow in the power of God. So listen, let's pause right there until next time. Let me close in prayer. Lord, seal these words in our heart in Jesus' name. We desire a greater capacity for the gifts of healings. And Father, we receive it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, now go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready. God bless you. Bye-bye.